welcome you tonight to our service, and we trust the Lord will bless our coming together in his name this evening. Could I just make some announcements at this stage of our service tonight? Just to mention some of the meetings during the week. There's a meeting to do with the children's meeting workers, tomorrow night, Monday at 7:30 p.m. And of course, we're considering how we can safely start some of these meetings again. And that will be tomorrow evening at 7:30. If you're interested in helping out on a Monday night, at the children's meeting on Tuesday night, as it normally is, meet tomorrow night, Monday at 7:30, or contact James. James is preaching elsewhere today, but you can contact him. Or if you cannot get, maybe just reassure him that you're still available to help for the Tuesday night children's meetings. On Tuesday evening here in the church hall, the Bible study and prayer meeting, and I will be along myself to bring the Bible study to lead the prayer meeting. We encourage you to attend. And then on Wednesday at 8, there's a meeting of Awana leaders. Again, we're thinking about how we can start that again. And so again, if you can help or have helped or want to help, even for the first time, do come along at 8 p.m. on Wednesday evening. And Friday night in Martyrs, the Youth Council rally is planned. This will be a face-to-face meeting with social distancing and all of those mitigations in place. And Reverend Paul Foster is the speaker there at Martyrs Friday night for all youth fellowship. Also Friday, 8 p.m., the installation of Reverend Timothy Nelson as minister of our Tyndale Church, being held in Newton Abbey, FPC, by invitation only. I understand it is on the site, or maybe Newton Abbey. If you look up that, you'll be able to find it if you want to listen in to that service. The moderator of the presbytery, Reverend John Armstrong, will be the preacher. Saturday, youth barbecue at McKee's at 6:30. If you're planning to go, please let Jonathan know today for booking. There's no charge for Ballygowan young people if you want to go along, but please remember that for Saturday evening at McKee's, there's games, there's barbecue, there's all of those things, and there's an ice cream van as well, I'm told. So if you like an ice cream van, you're welcome to go along on Saturday. But do tell Jonathan that you're planning to go. That's the booking for Saturday evening. Next Lord's Day, the Sunday school resumes at 10, 11:30, our family worship. Doors open from 11. I will be the preacher myself in the evening time. The gospel again, I'll be the preacher. The time of prayer beforehand, 6:20, 6:45 in the youth room. And our sister Naomi will sing, God willing. Missionary council offerings at both services next Lord's Day. Do remember those who are going through treatments in our church, particularly our sister Mary, and also Irene, as it comes up for her appointment in relation to whether it's going to be treatment or surgery. Do remember Irene in your prayers too for this September the 15th appointment. And there are others that need our prayers. We're thankful to hear that Ian Lancashire has got home from hospital today, and we rejoice in that. Continue to remember Ian, that's Cecil and Elizabeth's son, Ian, of course, known to most of you. Do please remember him and his family in prayers. Also, there are others. Reverend McVeigh and his family have been stricken with COVID, and others in the Dunmurry congregation have been stricken with it. So remember, please, the Dunmurry congregation, which is closed at present because of that outbreak. So please remember that little church at this time. Remember Reverend Goods, who's now recovering, coming on in the hospital. Reverend Beattie also is coming on in the hospital, but continues to need our prayers. So please remember these servants of the Lord and these needs at this time. And then on Tuesday week, after the prayer meeting, September the 14th, there's a brief meeting in relation to the mums and toddlers. Those who can help are welcome to attend, and maybe others who are going to be free on Monday mornings, maybe for an hour or two, even part of the time, if you can help out, you're welcome to come along. That's Tuesday week after the prayer meeting, a brief meeting in relation to that for the mums, in relation to the mums and toddlers. I think those are all the announcements that we have to make this evening. We're going to commence with the singing of the hymn on the screen, Forever with the Lord, Amen, So Let It Be, Life from the Dead is in that word, 'tis immortality. Here in the body's pent, absent from him I roam, yet nightly pitch my moving tent, a day's march nearer home. It's on the screen. We'll keep our seats as we sing together the words of this hymn. Our gracious God and eternal Father, we come into thy presence tonight in the precious name of the Lord Jesus. And we seek your face for your power and your presence tonight in this service. That thou wilt work, O God, by thy Holy Spirit. And through the ministry and song and through the preaching of thy word. That thou wouldst bring precious souls to know Christ. There will be those tonight in this meeting or listening to this service who will come to Christ. And be the slain of the Lord. O God, we ask of thee that by thy Holy Spirit thou wilt come, and that thou wilt move, and that thou wilt answer prayer tonight. We pray not only here in Ballygan, but across our land. There may be the moving of God the Holy Spirit. There may be a turning in saving faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray for backsliders that they may be restored. We pray, O God, for sinners to be saved. We pray for thy people to be revived. We pray for thy church to move forward as an army terrible with banners, that we might take ground from the enemy, that we might take territory for the Lord in these days in which we live. Remember thy people across the world. Let us know the needs, O God, that there are right to the far-flung corners of the world. We pray that thou wouldst remember
thy people at this time. We pray that thou wilt strengthen the weak, that thou wilt remember the persecuted in Afghanistan and places like this. Thank you for what you're doing in these places. But, O God, we pray that thou wouldst answer prayer and protect thy people. And, Lord, that thou wilt defeat the enemies of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember those in our midst who are ill. Lord, we bring them afresh before thee and collectively to thee tonight. We pray that thou wilt answer prayer for each one, that thou wilt draw near with thy presence, that thou wilt grant thy touch upon their bodies and healing and restoration. For those who mourn, that thou wouldst comfort them and be near them at this time. Remember each one in our church family. We pray that thou wilt bless too the various aspects of church life, the Sunday school as it resumes again next Lord's Day. We pray, O God, that you remember also the various other meetings. We pray that, Lord, if it's your will, we'll be able to get these going safely in the weeks and days ahead. We commend all of the work to thee. Pray that thou wilt bless and undertake tonight and in the days to come. For we pray in Jesus' name and for God's eternal glory. Amen. Our sister Natasha will bring her first message and song just now. Thank
you. There is a higher throne than all this world has known, where faithful ones from every tongue will one day come. Before the Son we'll stand, made faultless through the Lamb. Believing hearts find promised grace, salvation comes. Hear heaven's voices sing, their thunderous anthem rings through emerald courts and sapphire skies. Their praises rise, all glory, wisdom, power, strength,
Natasha, for that ministry and song. May the Lord bless it to our hearts tonight. We're reading together from the book of Revelation, chapter 21. The book of Revelation, chapter 21,
and reading from verse 9. Revelation chapter 21 and verse 9. The word of God says, "And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials, full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come hither, and I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the Spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal, and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and the names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east, 3 gates, on the north, 3 gates, on the south, 3 gates, on the west, 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city, and the gates thereof, and the wall thereof. And the city lieth 4 square. The length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. And he measured the wall thereof 144 cubits, according to the measure of man, that is, of the angel. The building of the wall of it was of jasper, and the city was of pure gold, like unto clear glass. The foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth an emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardius, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth chrysolite, and the 11th a jacinth, the 12th an amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. The city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. The kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. The gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. They shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life." Amen. And we know that God will bless to us the reading of his inspired, inerrant, and infallible word. We join in the singing of another hymn before Natasha brings her final message in song. And then after she sings, we'll stand for prayer before the word. We keep our seats as we sing this hymn. "When all my labors and trials are o'er, and I am safe on that beautiful shore, just to be near the dear Lord I adore, will through the ages be glory for me." 591 in the hymn book. It's on the screen. We keep our seats as we sing.
Yeah.
Much, Natasha. And again, it's wonderful to hear. That's our theme tonight, heaven. It's wonderful to hear about that glorious theme about heaven. That's what we're going to be speaking about in a moment. Let's stand, if you can, for prayer, please. Our Father and our God, we come now to the preaching of thy word. I am trusting thee for power. Thine shall never fail. Words that thou thyself must give me, must and shall prevail. We ask in Jesus' name. And for God's eternal glory. Amen. You may be seated. I draw your attention tonight to the passage of Scripture we have read from earlier in our service. Revelation chapter 21. And the subject tonight is a grand tour of heaven. For the believer in Christ, the person saved by the grace of God, heaven is the ultimate. The glorious prospect that awaits us at the end of the journey of life.
And when we enter into the presence of our Savior, we are with Him forevermore. And what a prospect that is. It is above and beyond any prospects we can ever hope to have or realize in this life. For the prospects of this life, even if they are realized, are only temporary. But heaven is eternal. It is something that fadeth not away. The Bible says in Psalm 16, verse 11, "In thy presence is fullness of joy, and at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." The worldly man often speaks derisingly of heaven as being a figment of the imagination. But the Bible, God's Word, the Scriptures of truth, sets before us the reality of heaven for those who know Christ as their own and personal Savior. And especially in the last two chapters of the Bible, Revelation chapters 21 and 22, the Holy Spirit shows to us the glory and the splendor of that wonderful place. We are given here, as it were, a grand tour of heaven. And here is something that surpasses any grand tour that you've ever experienced or may experience in the future upon this earth. As far as its majesty and its magnificence are concerned, sometimes when we view a property, a castle or a historic building or a mansion of some sort or another, we say it took my breath away. Such was its grandeur. Such was its greatness. But surely as we have this grand tour of heaven tonight, as we begin to look at it at least, in Revelation chapter 21, we will say, at the end of it, it took my breath away. It just doesn't get any better than this. Someone has said there are mansions. And there are mansions. And this mansion, or this place, I should say, of many mansions, surpasses them all. George Vanderbilt built a mansion. He was the grandson of a railroad industrialist and financier, George Washington Vanderbilt III. He set out to build the grandest home in America, armed with an unlimited budget. The result was mind-boggling. I'm not going to go through all the detail and bore you with all the detail of the fineries of that building. But on Christmas Eve, 1895, George Vanderbilt unveiled his prized Biltmore House. And as he welcomed family and friends and invited guests for a holiday celebration, Vanderbilt formally opened the most ambitious home that was ever constructed at that time in America. It was immediately acclaimed the greatest house of the Western Hemisphere. But let's face it tonight, despite its opulent grandeur, even the Biltmore estate pales in comparison to the magnificence of God's heaven. The Lord Jesus Christ, in the 14th chapter of John, He said, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself." As we said before, there are mansions and there are mansions. And God's people tonight are looking forward with great anticipation to occupying the mansion in glory that the Lord is preparing for us. There are many, of course, sadly, who are preoccupied with larger or better properties on earth. But the one who is heavenly minded will be focused upon their heavenly home. Because remember this, dear friends, we're only passing through this life. We're only here for a little while, and soon we'll be gone from this life, and the house here will not be much use to you. You need that home in heaven. A grand tour of heaven. I want to speak in four ways about this grand tour tonight. First of all, the glory of this place. Revelation chapter 21, verses 9 to 11. We read these words tonight. And John is struck here by the sheer glory of God's dwelling place. The chief characteristic of the New Jerusalem is that God's glory is manifested in it. And here we read that a solitary angel summoned John to embark upon a careful inspection of the eternal city. And supernaturally and unexplainably, the angel transported John to a great mountain. And from this high vantage point, the apostle can see the vast magnitude of the city more clearly. And what is the first thing that strikes the Apostle John's attention? Look at verse 11. This city shines like a celestial jewel with blinding brilliance, having the glory of God. And her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. You see, my friend, God's glory is the radiance of His dazzling splendor, the abiding Shekinah glory of God. In Scripture, whenever God revealed Himself, He appeared in the form of the Shekinah, a brilliant, almost blinding light. In the Old Testament Scriptures, we read of that Shekinah. It was the symbol of the sum of all that God is. The brilliant outshining of His attributes and His nature. And here is the Shekinah glory. Here is the glory of heaven. The celestial city's brilliance or bright light is the effect of the divine glory shining throughout that city. The beauty resembles a sparkling crystal diamond-like stone, blazing with the glory of God, extremely beautiful, costly, and valuable. You ladies know all about these precious stones, don't you? You know all about how valuable they are when you look in the jeweler's window and you dig into your husband's ribs and say, I would like that one. But my friend, it's nothing to this. This precious stone probably refers to a perfectly cut diamond that magnifies the brilliant light of God's glory. It is a pure, clear, white, bright, blindingly brilliant, starry, projecting, a diamond-like radiance that magnifies the light of God's radiant glory. It is, my friends, breathtaking beauty. The building materials of heaven are selected with a view to magnify the glory of God. Not one of these materials is brilliant in the dark. In any context, their radiance is always dependent upon borrowed light. And here, the light that shines, that manifests this glory, is the dazzling glory of God. All of heaven is designed to magnify, to show off the glory of God. Look at verse 23 of the passage. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine into it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. You see the extent of this glory. As we continue this grand tour of heaven, the Holy Spirit tonight shows us a massive wall which surrounds it, symbolizing security and protection. Look at verse 12. And had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. In the ancient world, a city's wall was a source of protection from external danger, from harmful attacks. Maybe you visited some of the great cities of this world and you've looked there and saw in those great cities of the world the walls that surround them. Maybe you've been able to walk around some of those walls. In our own country, we have some walls that are famous in a certain city that you'll know well in this our own country. Walls that surround the city for its protection. Likewise, the city's wall promoted closeness among the indwelling inhabitants in God's city. The city of God, the wall, will serve as a reminder to his people that they've been delivered from the danger of any external foe or invading enemy that would harm them. And the wall symbolizes, my friends, the protection that believers will enjoy from all of their spiritual enemies, Satan, his demons, sin and sinners, death, disease, sorrow and pain. Nothing that could harm us will ever break into the celestial city. What protection the believer has within the city of God. And John gives details about the wall in a few verses. Amazingly, the wall is comprised of 12 foundation stones, verse 14. And in them the name of the 12 apostles are written. It is 72 yards thick. Verse 17, made of jasper, verse 18, has 12 foundation stones of every kind, verses 19 to 20, as we enter through the 12 gates of pearl. Verse 21, what a wall. What an absolutely magnificent wall. You could never build a wall like that. The glory of this place. The glory of heaven. But that's only the first part of this grand tour. The second part speaks of the gates of this place. Verses 12 to 14. It talks about these 12 gates, which accommodate unrestricted entrance into the city for God's people when they're opened. Likewise, these gates keep out others when shut. Each gate is guarded by 12 angels, one angel per gate. The Bible tells us in Isaiah chapter 62 and verse 6, I have set watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem. There are three gates on the east. There are three in the north, there are three in the south, there are three in the west. The Bible tells us in verse 16, the city lieth four square, the length is as large as the breadth. The city's description follows the pattern of cities with which John's readers were familiar. Foundations, walls, and gates. The foundations speak of permanence. In contrast with the tents which pilgrims and strangers lived in, here's something that is permanent. The walls and gates speak of protection. God's people will never have to fear any enemies. What a wonderful place of security is heaven. People are looking for security today in this world. Job security, security in home, security as far as the country is concerned. Security not only as far as our own country and nation is concerned, but as far as this world is concerned. But my friend, here is the only place of real security. The question is tonight, are you going to this place? Are you going to this wonderful place called heaven? Are you ready to go to this place? You're only ready tonight if you have a saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and if you're saved by His grace. In this city, saints of the Old Covenant and the New Covenant are united. The 12 gates are identified with the 12 tribes of Israel, the 12 foundations with the 12 apostles. The detail given through John by the Holy Spirit is simply assuring us that all of God's believing people will be included in this city. The Old Testament believers, and the New Testament, and all who trust in Christ are included within this city and have a place within the city of God. Again, let me ask you, are you going to this city tonight? This beautiful city of God. And so I want you to come thirdly with me tonight to look at the greatness of this place. Taking the golden reed, the measurements of the city were taken, verse 15, and John notes that the city was perfectly symmetrical. 1,500-mile cube. Reflecting the triunity, the height, the length, and the breadth, the perfection of God Himself. Notice verses 15 to 7. And the rod was to measure the holy city, its gates and its walls. And this measuring, and this measurement was a sign of ownership, showing that this city belongs to God. People say, about a certain place in this world, that belongs to me. Or this city belongs to so-and-so. They mark out their territory. But this city, my friend, belonged to God. And John had measured the earthly Jerusalem, chapter 11, Revelation, verse 1. Now he's invited to measure the heavenly city. And the measurements are staggering, revealing to us the greatness of this place. There is no greater place, my friends, than heaven. There is no greater city than the city of God. People talk about, I have visited such and such a place. What a great city that is. And someone else will say, I have visited some other place. And what a great city that is. They all may be great in their own way, but nothing compares to this city. The city of God. There's plenty of room for everyone within this city. There is room for all sinners whom God will be pleased to call to Himself and who will be washed in the Savior's blood. And if you will come as a sinner to the Lord Jesus Christ, repenting of your sin, trusting in the atoning blood of the Lamb, then there will be room for you in heaven. Within the walls, and through the gates of this beautiful city, as the hymn writer put it, sweeping through the gates of the New Jerusalem, washed in the blood of the Lamb. And you know, as we look about the measurements of this city and look at the measurements of it, it symbolizes the perfect harmony within the Godhead. Our triune God, together in perfect unison. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit working perfectly together. All working perfectly together to provide such a magnificent city, fully capable of holding the vast population of God's people, the blood-washed people of God, that innumerable multitude which no man can number. That's the number of God's people, of God's chosen ones. Notice it says in verse 17, according to the measure of man. This means that this has to be taken quite literally. This city is not just a symbol of eternal bliss or of some ethereal world. that we enter into with God. God Himself has designed a real place for His eternal dwelling where He can enjoy His people. And His people can enjoy Him forever and ever. Can you say tonight, I am going to this city? If not, begin that journey tonight. Begin it tonight at the cross. When you come as a sinner to Jesus, will you come tonight? My dear friend, will you come now to the Lord Jesus Christ, the greatness of this city? But then I want you to see tonight not only the greatness of this city, but I want you to see tonight the grandeur of this city, the grandeur of this place. John now describes the materials with which the New Jerusalem is constructed. There's no cheap stuff here. No cheap stuff here. No budget cutbacks on this building program. Only the best for God. Look at verse 18 through to 21. You will see that. Think of all these precious stones. Our God is a God of beauty. And He will lavish His beauty on the city. He's preparing for His people. Perhaps Peter had this in mind when he wrote about the manifold grace of God mentioned there in 1 Peter 4, verse 10. The word translated manifold means many colors or variegated. You think of the brilliance of these colors that are mentioned here. In their shade and in their hue, the blue and the green and the red, the yellow, the clear gold, purple and white, dazzling colors. The very foundations of this city are constructed on the flashing brilliance of rich and costly gems. This will be the most breathtaking sight that you will ever see. Except for the direct glory of God Himself. Everything, my friends, about this heavenly city is designed to display the glory of God. On the inside of the city is the Lord Jesus Christ, the light of the world. And because of His bright and shining presence, so bright, there'll be no need for the sun, as verse 22 indicates, or verse 23. I think it is. Verse 23. All of this color will be flooding out of the New Jerusalem. The 12 gates were made, verse 21, of 12 pearls. 12 pearls. What a wonderful picture this is. These 12 gates that are mentioned. At each entrance, a single pearl. What diamonds are to modern culture, pearls were to the ancient world. Among the ancients, the pearl was highest in value among the precious stones. Its beauty is due entirely to God's work. Why did God choose pearl here? Perhaps because the beauty of the pearl comes from the pain of an oyster. It is beauty born out of pain. A pearl, you see, is formed when a tiny grain of sand gets inside an oyster shell, causing the oyster to become irritated and uncomfortable. The oyster relieves its pain by covering the irritating grain of sand with a soft, lustrous solution that hardens into a beautiful, growing pearl. Isn't that something wonderful? Maybe you knew that already. But I must admit I learned that this week. The more pain the oyster endures, the more layers of luster, and the larger the pearl becomes. And what a picture we have of our salvation here. We have come into the place of God's blessing because of the pain of Christ on the cross. Because of what He endured. John Phillips, the commentator, said, some significant words. He said, "The glory land is God's answer in Christ to wicked men who crucified heaven's beloved and put him to an open shame." And how like God it is to build the gates of the New Jerusalem of peril. The saints, as they come and go, will be forever reminded as they pass through the gates of glory that access to God's throne is only because of Calvary. My friend, you cannot get into heaven but by the way of the cross. You cannot get into heaven but by the way of the cross. We often sing those words, "The way of the cross leads home. The way of the cross leads home." Oh, what a wonderful city this is. There's only one way of access to God's throne, through Calvary. Think of the size of those gates. Think of the supernatural perils from which they are made. What gigantic suffering is symbolized by these gates of peril. And throughout the endless ages, we shall be reminded by those pearly gates of the immensity of the sufferings of our Lord Jesus Christ. Those pearls hung eternally at the access route to glory will remind us forever of one who hung upon the tree. Of one who hung upon the cross. And whose answer to those who injured him was to invite them to share his home. Verse 21, "The street of the city was of pure gold, as it were transparent glass." Imagine walking in gold. Streets of gold. That's where we'll be walking on one day. That's where our loved ones are walking on already. Streets of gold. Think about it. They've gone to heaven. They're on the streets of gold. Isn't that wonderful to think about that? This heavenly highway system is pure, cold, costly, and valuable. It's reflecting the divine nature of its architect. The gold is like transparent glass, allowing God's light to flood through it. And again, this will further amplify and magnify the glory of God. It will enhance the display of His majesty. It will stir our hearts to worship Him. And this is where we will spend all eternity, friends. And you're worried about that extension that you want to build? Or you're worried about that house that you want to have down here? And I'm not looking for a house down here. I'm looking up. I know we need a house down here. The Lord knows we need a house down here. I'm not saying you should live in a hovel, friend. Of course I'm not. But friend, we need to think. Look up. Look up. For your redemption draweth nigh. We will spend all eternity in this beautiful place called heaven. A prominent citizen in a town lay dying, surrounded at his bedside by his family and physician. And as he thought of his massive wealth that he'd worked all his life to amass, he whispered with a note of despair, "I'm leaving home. I'm leaving home." But across the town, a similar yet very different scene took place. There lay a solitary figure in a meager, bare surroundings. A poor woman who had barely eked out a living for her children. Her modest home contained only the very basics of life's essentials. But in her heart dwelt the hope of heaven. Before she died, she was heard to say expectantly, "I'm going home. I'm going home." What a different perspective for those who know God and who look to heaven. What is it with you tonight? Is heaven your home? Are you looking to going home? "I'm going home to glory soon, to see the city bright, to walk the golden streets of heaven and bask in God's own light, but some of you are out of Christ and held by many a snare. I don't want to leave you lost and lone. I want you over there. Friend, I don't want to leave you I don't want to leave you to go to hell. I want you to go to heaven. You come with me to heaven, and all the saints of God, come with me tonight. The vast wealth and riches of the eternal city is prepared for those who have prior reservations through personal faith in God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you, my friend, a prior reservation tonight? Oh, you can have it if you put your faith in Christ. And one day when you die, or when Christ returns, He will take you to your home in heaven. Are you going home? A grand tour of heaven. May the Lord speak to us tonight. If you're not saved, to lead you to Christ. If you are, to think more of heaven than you do of this earth. May the Lord bless His word to our hearts. Let us pray. Father, bless Thy word tonight. May it be a saving word to some hearts, and may it be a word of comfort and strengthening and encouragement to Thy people for Christ's sake. Amen. We're turning again to our closing hymn. It is Face to Face with Christ, My Savior. Face to face, what will it be when with rapture I behold Him, Jesus Christ, who died for me. 598, we'll keep our seats as we conclude our service tonight. And could I say, if you've been listening or in our service tonight and God has spoken to you, do make contact with us. We're here in the service to speak with you about these things, to point you to the Lord and to lead you to Christ tonight. Don't leave without the Savior.
Rapture I behold.
that will be. Amen.
When we meet the Lord, when we see Him face to face, may the Lord bless us, give us views of heaven, give us more and more to be heavenly minded. May the Lord help us ever to look up. May the Lord bless His word to our hearts tonight. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God our Father and the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all now and forevermore. Amen. Thank you for listening in to the service here in Ballygowan Free Presbyterian Church tonight. May the Lord bless you.